love Recharged Radio,
but you're too busy gigging and partying to hear it in the evenings,
then you probably aren't listening to this.
But hopefully some kind friend of yours is.
And they can tell you about the Recharged Radio
podcast. Simply go to rechargeradio.com
and follow the simple instructions.
Even I can understand them.
Because music needs to be driven.
Not controlled!
The Recharged Radio podcast. Tell your friends.
Taylor and the title track from her 2010 release, The Cure to Everything. Right now on the phone from Los Angeles, I have the artist herself, Sarah Taylor. Sarah, welcome to the California Diner. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Mike. How are you? Doing pretty good. Thanks for taking the time. I understand it's raining down there as well as here, so sorry about the fact we couldn't fix it. You know, we can do some miracles on radio, but we can't fix the weather. Sorry about that.
Actually, we're okay with that, having a little bit of rain, because we're always in a drought. So
that's true.
That's cool.
That's true, yeah. You know, we were chatting offline, and, you know, I've been listening to your album, The Cure for Everything. In fact, I listened to it on the road today, just on the way up here. And it's not like I live that far out in the country, but there were some wide open spaces. And your album, it's just a perfect soundtrack for those wide open spaces.
Yeah, I have a friend that said the same thing. Really liked it on a long road trip.
Okay, that's two votes in favor of road trips. You know, and your album does bear repeated playings as well, because there's certain nuances that you pick up only after hearing a song a couple times, really enjoying it.
I'm still hearing them. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And I've listened to it more than anyone, I think.
I would hope so, yeah. So, Sarah, how did you get your start in music?
Well, my start, like if you really want to go back to the boring stuff, when I was in kindergarten and pretended I was playing the violin when everyone else was banging on the tambourines.
Wow.
My parents started me on piano, and then I moved to violin, and then that was my major and in college. But I also really always liked singing, and I gradually sort of drifted over into that being my more prominent, creative outlet.
Yeah,
I still play the violin, and I played it on the record.
Okay, I was wondering about that. Yeah, I get the impression that that's your main strength is your vocals. Do you play anything else besides the violin?
I play the piano and I play some guitar and some tuba. No, I don't. I'm kidding. No tuba.
I would love to see that.
But I like it. Yeah.
There you go. You know, it's funny. I have some friends who were in a band in Austria, and they did a bunch of covers, including Little Help from My Friends by the Beatles. And it was bass, guitar. No, I'm sorry. It was guitar, drums, and tuba. They didn't have a bass, but there's apparently a lot of tuba players in Austria for some reason. So that was the bass right there.
That's cool, though.
Yeah.
That's a very hip sound.
Yeah, exactly. It seems to be coming back as well.
Like the roots, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm completely amused by the sheer variety of musicians that you've worked with. I read your bio a couple times, and you've worked with everybody from Quincy Jones to Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo, Joe Cocker, and Weird Al Yankovic, and Burt Bacharach, Chaka Khan, Melissa Etheridge, LL Cool J, and more. That's an amazing array of talent you've worked with.
I know. I agree. I mean, I'm lucky. I consider myself extremely lucky, and it's always really fun to walk into a situation where you have no idea what's going to happen, and that's the fun. That's the fun part of music, especially when you're working live, is just seeing where it's all going to come out.
Yeah. Now, you don't sound anything like Devo or Quincy Jones or Chaka Khan or even Weird Al. So who would you count among your biggest musical influences?
Musical influences would be Donny Hathaway.
Ooh, nice.
Ella Fitzgerald, Stevie Wonder, Janis Joplin, Led Zeppelin, Jeff Beck. I mean, even people that aren't particularly, like I would say Jimmy Page and Robert Plant, because these are all Jeff. They're all really musical, almost like singers. The way, they love a great melody. So anything that has a great melody and a vibe, I just love it. I don't care. I've got it all over the map. Bob Marley, it just depends on my mood. But I would definitely say Ella Fitzgerald and, Donny Hathaway were Gladys Knight.
Yeah.
Bonnie Raitt, Linda Ronstadt. I just love that stuff. I love to go on YouTube and watch old live clips. I think it's great.
Isn't that the greatest? I used to like MTV, but this is even better because you can just pick what you want.
Yeah, hands down.
Now, it's interesting. You mentioned Bonnie Raitt, Janis Joplin. I do hear a little bit of that influence in your music for sure, stylistically.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Definitely.
That's a compliment.
Definitely. So congratulations on the release of your new album, The Cure to Everything. What does the title refer to?
Well, it's the name of the song, But it's sort of like, I don't know, I think we were just in the studio and Bill wrote that song and it was The Cure to Everything. The Cure to Everything. What is The Cure to Everything?
That's a really good question.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's just like, it was sort of a theoretical or your own imagination.
I like it. I like it a lot. Now, is that your debut album?
Yes, it is. I mean, I have that. I have a holiday, like a Christmas CD single that I also did with Bill Mumy that some of your listeners might know. It's called I've Got Some Presents for Santa. And but yeah, this is my debut album.
And you mentioned Bill Mumy. I had the pleasure of chatting with him on the show about a month ago. How did you two meet?
We met years and years ago through a mutual friend, a great songwriter, composer named Paul Gordon, and Jake Ruska. And I was really excited to meet Bill because my favorite movie in the whole world is Sammy the Way Out Seal. and that was one of his films.
Awesome.
And but really, Bill's such a great musician. And we just hit it off, we still are great friends. And I introduced him to his wife.
Nice.
And we've just worked on so many musical projects together. And, you know, it just seemed like the inevitable thing. And he had called me up one day and said, look, I have this collection of songs that I've always wanted you to sing. And let's do it. And so he sent me this this CD. And I called him back and I said, I like every single one of them. Every one of them. There was like 25 songs. Well, that was a little too much, but we narrowed it down, and we started to record the record. And we both had the same, we shared the same vision about how we wanted to do it.
I can see that. And, you know, I mentioned this off air, but they both have the same kind of feel, your album and then the Glorious in Defeat release, which we'll hear later on the show. Similar feel.
Well, Mumy's really organic, and he insists on, above all, an authenticity and whatever it is that he's doing, whatever the activity is, and absolutely in music, and so do I. So what we wanted to do was to cut this record live, and so we assembled this, we thought about it, and we assembled the rhythm guys, the group of musicians, and we cut live here in our studio. My husband Paul Horovin's a recording engineer, and he recorded the record, and we recorded it here. I'm actually in the studio today working on something else, and I'm sitting in the kitchen and talking to you. But we cut the basic tracks live, and we did some overdubs. And but basically, it's got that live feel, and you hear that also on Bill's recordings very much.
Yeah, I definitely get that, and organic is a great word because everything sounds genuine. I definitely get that feeling. So how was the recording process for it? How long did that take, and what was the general vibe?
We're working in what used to be called Brown's Feet, and it's used to be the studio where Jackson Brown and Little Feet recorded.
Ah.
And Jackson wrote The Pretender here.
Wow.
And yeah, so it's got all this killer I don't want to use the word paraphernalia necessarily, but it's got all these great old posters and the acoustic paneling in the studio is covered with concert tees and old Levi's and patchwork and batik, and it's got stuff scribbled on the walls, notes from Warren Zevon to Jackson about taking one of his guitars. It's killer.
You guys got to keep all that stuff too. That's so amazing.
Well, that's the only reason we got it, is because the owner said, you know, if you touch anything, forget it. So I told her, no, I want to renovate it and you know, just bring it back to its 1970s glory. And so the vibe was really cool. Everybody was friends. Everybody kind of knew everybody else, either playing frequently together or had sort of played a little bit or knew of. So it was a really friendly vibe. We did it. We cut those basics over a period of, you know, I don't know, in a week, within a few days. And everybody would just come in the morning, and we'd get together and start and just see where it went. That's the process I love to do, is just kind of see where the path is going to lead me. And we'd start with a footprint, like an idea, and then just see where it went. And I'm always interested in the musician's input, because that's why you like certain guys, you want to play with certain guys, because you know that they're going to add so much to your project. And, you know, and that's what happened.
That makes perfect sense, and I think the album has a more cohesive feel. Hey, why don't we take a break and listen to one of the other songs off the album?
This is Recharged Radio.
Give a damn. Our guest today on the California Diner is Sarah Taylor from Los Angeles. Sarah, really love that one. You really wailed at the end.
Thanks.
That's awesome. Now, we were chatting a little bit about Ready Mix Music. That's the recording studio that you and your husband run. Now, I know a lot of musicians in LA, and they probably want a good sound, maybe that organic feel. So how do they contact you if they'd like to maybe avail themselves of your services?
I would say go to the website. If you know, readymixmusic.com.
Okay.
And there's a Facebook page, Ready Mix Music, too.
Okay, perfect. And you were telling me offline that you really enjoy working with other people. You're nurturing a young artist in there right now.
Yeah, actually, yeah, she's in doing vocals, and I told her, sing your heart out. You've got a half an hour. I'm going in, and I'm going to go talk to Mike. So, but yeah, we're working on it. We work with different people. I mean, a couple days ago, there was a great group of gospel singers in, and earlier in the week, there was a couple guys that came in and did this cool sort of trip-hop thing, and everybody really digs the live sound of the room, and Paul has vintage keyboards. We've got an old, you know, beautifully maintained Wurlitzer electric.
Nice.
And a Rhodes and a Hammond organ, and we've got a studio upright Yamaha, the same like that Coldplay. That
wow.
Sound is really great that Chris Martin plays, and it's a cool room. It's very cool.
That is really neat. Yeah, definitely. I love the sound of what comes out of there. So very cool. I got to ask you a question about one of your collaborators, because this kind of took me by surprise, but Weird Al Yankovic played accordion on a couple of your songs, and I've never heard of him doing anything outside of his own novelty songs. In fact, my son and my wife and I saw him at the State Fair in Sacramento here over the summer, and, you know, he's known for, well, being Weird Al. What was it like with working with Weird Al?
Al is, first of all, he is a quintessential musician. He is unbelievably... I mean, he's the best accordion player I think there is. He's unbelievable.
Gotta
be. The nicest guy. The nicest. Now, he and Mumy have known each other for 100 years. And I've met Al many times through Bill, but just sort of socially, hi, how are you? So when we came to, when we were cutting this, we thought, well, let's have Al come down. And he was in town, so he was more than happy. He was gracious. And it's kind of funny because he actually had parked right around the corner from the studio and then had called Bill on his cell phone and said, oh, this is where I am. And Bill said, because you can't tell the studio from the street. It's just a fence with bougainvillea. So Bill said, well, I'll come out and I'll get you. So he walked out and walked up to the corner to get him, and they were walking back, and I was standing out on the sidewalk with the door open, you know, saying, you know, waiting. And it was so funny because, like, there's a barber shop up the street from us, and these little kids were running out, and old guys going, Weird Al, Weird Al. And, I mean, he just looks like exactly like himself, Hawaiian shirt, the hair, carrying his accordions, and
wow.
He smiles, hi to everybody, he'll sign autographs, you know, he's so gracious. And then he just came in you know, took out his accordions and played.
Wow.
And we all just, it was great.
That is so neat. That would be a music fan's dream to see Bill Mumy and Weird Al Yankovic walking down the street together. I don't know what I'd do if I saw him.
I know. My husband actually, you know, he doesn't do this too much. And he said, you know, Sarah, take a picture. Me and Al.
That's awesome.
Yeah, sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, I know we're running a little bit short on time here, but I got to ask you a couple more questions. Do you ever gig live?
Yeah, I do. I'm hoping to get that going the beginning of the year.
Good.
And I'll start, you know, doing some local things and then seeing how I can get out there to the rest of at least the West Coast, maybe up California and, you know, Oregon, Washington, some of that.
Yeah, we'd love to see you up here in Northern California. That would be great.
Well, I've got relatives all over that, you know, Sacramento Valley and Stockton
cool.
and Santa Rosa. I'm from Northern California. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm happy to do that.
Awesome. Okay, then we'll look forward to seeing you as soon as you post the tour dates. A couple more quick questions. How can my listeners get their very own copy of The Cure to Everything?
Well, a hard copy, I think. CD Baby and Amazon, CD Baby, Amazon, iTunes, Reverb Nation, I think. And if you go to my website, you can. I think that's probably the fastest. That's pretty easy.
And that,
www.sarahtee.com.
Sarahtee.com. Perfect. And as we go out, first of all, thank you so much, Sarah Taylor, for hanging out with us today on the radio. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been,
I love it.
It's been a blast, and I wish we could talk for another half hour. But what song of yours would you like to hear as we take a break?
Let's listen to The Great Domain.
Okay, The Great Domain, Sarah Taylor.
The
thanks. The
trombone solo.
That was good.
Yeah.
Muted trombone, right?
Yeah, he used a little bit, yep.
Okay.
Steve Baxter, he's a great player here in Los Angeles.
Sounds good. Well, Sarah Taylor, thank you so much for hanging out with us today on the radio.
Thank you for having me.
Sarah Taylor and The Great Domain.
Recharged Radio.